Hello, everyone, and welcome to the SPI podcast. My name is Amélie Leduc, and I'm marketing advisor here with SPI. Today's topic is gas detection, but most specifically, we're going to talk about gas detection sensors on the market, including new PID sensor, their application, and how to use them. We're joined today by Hugo Simoaise. Hi, Hugo.
Hi.
And Mike Maudou.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Are two experts on the subject. Well, first of all, let me introduce you, Hugo. Hugo has a master's in ergonomics from Portugal and a certificate in health and safety from University of Montreal. He has 9 years of field experience in fall protection, and he's been with us for the past year giving fall arrest, confined space work, and gas detection training. So thanks for being here, Hugo.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Also here with us is Mike Maudou. Mike has more than 35 years of experience in the industrial safety markets and fire service markets. Mike has worked for various research and development, technical and sales position for 35 years before he actually joined Dräger Safety Canada as the regional sales manager for instrumentation and apparatus.
Thank you again.
Yeah, thanks for being here, Mike. So let's get into our main topic right away. With regards, when we talk about gas detection, what are the four most common types of sensor technologies on the market and their applications?
Okay, so if I can start with that, we have pretty much four. The first one is electrical chemical sensors that are used to measure the concentration of oxygen and toxic gases in the atmosphere. We have also the catalytic bead sensors, which are normally used to measure combustible gases, so the percentage of gas. We have also the ER infrared sensors, which can be used for combustible gases and also for CO2, so carbon dioxide. Last but not least, the PID sensor, or the photoionization sensor, that we're going to have Mike today talking to us about. And it's basically, it measures all the VOCs, so volatile organic compounds.
Thanks, Hugo. Actually, yep. Mike, what can you tell us about the PID sensors and when and where they might be used?
Well, a PID sensor is used to measure volatile organic compounds, abbreviated VOCs, and other gases in concentration as low as several parts per billion to concentrations of several parts per million. So you can see that we're looking at very low concentrations. The VOCs can be found in many products that you already are familiar with, such as solvents like paint thinner, different fuels like gasoline, diesel, kerosene, and also jet fuel.
If you don't mind if I take it from there, a lot of these VOCs are findable at quite low concentrations. However, the concentrations required for most of them to become flammable is much higher than the toxic exposure limit. This means that a PID sensor, for example, is quite important to a fire department when responding to hazmat calls, or, for example, during an arson investigation when a fire may not be the primary hazard.
Right. To add to that, Hugo, the PID sensor also very suited for the industrial applications where exposure to these compounds, organic volatile compounds, must be monitored, for the safety of the workers. VOCs that you may be familiar with that are toxic to human include formaldehyde, chlorine, benzene. And as we know, benzene is known as a carcinogen.
Yeah, and talking about this, Mike, can you tell us more about how a PID sensor differs from other sensors or other detectors?
Yeah, I could do that. The operation of the PID sensor is quite different to the operating principles of other sensors. As the name implies, photoionization, the PID sensor, is based on the ionization of an organic substance. So when the molecules of this gas to be measured enters a PID sensor, it exposed to UV ultraviolet light from an internal lamp that's inside the sensor. This lamp, this light, splits the gas molecules and gives them a charge, sort of like a magnet giving charges to whatever's around it. These charged particles or molecules then pass through an electronic field between two electrodes, and the molecules will release these charges on these two electrodes, and this will cause a current. And the stronger the current, the stronger the concentration. So it's a direct proportional between the current that is being converted to by these electrodes to a signal corresponding to the concentration of the gas or the ionized molecules. Sort of like if you think of a light bulb, the old-fashioned light bulbs, where you have sort of like two little pins sticking up. You have an element in the middle. Mm-hmm. So the more energy you give to it, the more the element gets bright. So it'd be the same thing episode here. You have two electrodes, and it's causing a current. The stronger the current, the stronger the concentration of the gas.
Okay.
And that'll measure it for you. A little bit more detailed, the molecule can only be ionized when the amount of light energy from the UV lamp exceeds the substance that it's going to do. What I'm trying to say here is that the UV lamp will generate an energy we call 10.6 electron volts, which is EV. And the molecules that are going to be in the chamber that we want to measure of the gases will pick up an electronic charge, and this charge must be lower than 10.6 volts. And so all of the molecules that can be lower than the 10.6 volt will be identified and ionized by the UV lamp, and therefore will be able to be measured and give us a reading of the actual gases. Thing to remember is that oxygen and nitrogen both have ionization potentials higher than the 10.6 electron volt. Therefore, these two cannot be detected by the PID sensor and will not have any effect on the reading that you're going to get. It's important that whenever people ask us for a PID sensor, we always suggest to them to also add the oxygen sensor so that they can see what the oxygen levels are doing in their environment, because as I just mentioned, mm-hmm. the PID sensor will not measure mm-hmm. the oxygen levels.
Very important.
Yeah. And basically what I see in the field is normally people do have the common gas detector, which detects oxygen. And normally, in terms of flammability, what we're going to have is the LEL, so lower explosivity limit, which gives us a percentage of certain flammable gases. But it only measures to a certain concentration, and the PID, what I understood, is going to allow us to measure in lower concentrations that are even toxic before they become flammable. For example, certain clients of us have, they deal with jet fuel, and to which is added several different products like benzene. And I think that the PID or your PID is going to have something interesting for that, what I've read before. But I think Mike is going to tell us a little bit about that later on.
Yes, in our next session.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hugo.
Yep.
So if I had to recap on the PID sensor, my understanding is that the best takeaway from its use and is that it's used for measuring very low concentrations of toxic gases, and that a thorough understanding of the potential hazards must be known.
That is pretty well assumes the correctness of it all, yes.
Yep.
All right. So I invite you all to join in our next podcast, during which we will continue our discussion and elaborate on the PID sensor and on some problems that arise in gas detection and find solutions. So thanks both for being here, and thanks for joining us, and be safe.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you, Emily.